Man, me and Isaac didn't talk about today's message, but I think we got a sermon this morning. So appreciate the worship team. Let's give a hand to the worship team. How we doing today, church? We doing good? I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. This past week, I got a chance to go to Las Vegas. And before you hear it, like, I was there for work, okay? The temptations in Las Vegas don't really appeal to me. One, I'm too cheap. And so losing money doesn't sound like a great idea to me. And but was there for work and also got an opportunity to hang out with a young man that was one of my athletes. And him and his wife are doing incredible things in ministry. So feel very, very encouraged throughout this week coming back. And hopefully this message does the same. This is kind of one of those where I've personally needed this, and so I felt like sharing this. And the reason why I feel like I needed this is because, one, it's Mother's Day. My mother, I get to share Mother's Day every day here, every week here at church. But also, this will be, thank you. I also look around in the crowd, and there's so many motherly figures that impacted me throughout my life, and so thankful to be able to tell you guys Happy Mother's Day. But also, this will be the last year where my wife is childless, and so as we expect in November, we've been avoiding telling everyone because that first trimester has been winning. And so she didn't want to throw up on your shoes as you tried to congratulate her. So I think we got past that stage now and feel like, so if you guys want to give her congratulations, feel free to. But it's so fun because I feel like so many of you have been part of my particular journey. And so to share that news with you, it gives great encouragement. But also instills a little fear in me, absolutely. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, DJ, for confirming my emotions. It's amazing when you get the news that the fathering instincts start to kick in, that provider starts to kick in. It's just something that God has innated, given us of like, okay, boom, what do I need to do? And we've had many conversations, and Victoria feels somewhat similar. And so as we dive into the word today, hopefully this instills encouragement for all of you who are still trying to figure out what this motherhood thing is all about. And for the guys, this is enough message in here that you'll be impacted as well. And we're going to spend our time in 2 Kings chapter 4 today. 2 Kings chapter 4, read it out of the NIV. I'll read it through its entirety, and then we'll go through and break it down. 2 Kings chapter 4 reads, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a small jar of olive oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" There are multiple takeaways from this message, but let's try to go through it step by step. Verse 1, I love this because God knows our problems. He knows exactly what you're going through. And the situation says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves." She's in despair. When someone cries out, that is a pain. That is a heartbroken. It's piercing. When someone is crying out because they have nowhere else to go to, man, this is a mother who is now a widow, and she's at the lowest point of her life, and she has to come to the man of God, Elijah, who's acting as God's voice at this particular time. She is in desperate straits. There was death in her family. She was married to one of the prophets that was under the training of Elisha to succeed him. Her husband, her lover, her friend, her provider, her protector has been taken away from her in death. And because he didn't have a great insurance policy, life insurance policy, she no longer can pay the mortgage, the light bills, the credit card bills, and the creditors are coming for her. So much so that she is in almost, you know, about to lose her sons as well. She already lost her husband, but under Jewish law, to repay off your debts, you can work as a slave until your debt is paid. And so that was allowed under Jewish law, and so now she might even lose her children. That is a low point. But in spite of all her problems, she still held firm to the grip of faith. She needs help, but she didn't go to her family or friends. Did she? Who'd she go to? The man of God. I know where I can get help at. She knew deep down, hey, my husband was a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I know where I can receive help for these problems. She reminds Elijah that of this fact. He says, hey, my husband did revere the Lord. She still trusts him. Now, I'm not sure if you've been there, but that's a very hard place to still have some faith. Because her faith probably felt pretty good all the way up to this point. She got married. She's got a God-fearing husband. She's got two beautiful sons that she's raising up. Things are going great. I bet she is thankful for God for everything. And then life hits the fan, and it all goes to the drain. Pastor Fields is not here. Okay, he's here in spirit, but I had to kind of tempt that, okay? So he's doing his grandfather, and Mama Gwen's doing her grandmother duties. Their granddaughter is graduating at KU today, so that's why they're not here. But he almost let me slip it out for a second there. So even though she couldn't see a way out, she knew she couldn't see everything. Even though she didn't understand all that she was facing, she knew that there was someone that understood it. If you've been at that point in life, some of you have been on the other side of it, have gone through it on the other side. Some of you may feel like that you're currently in that moment right now. Some of you have gone through it multiple times. But you're at the lowest point of your life. Everything is falling apart. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all going to tell you that God doesn't care and he doesn't see you. That's what it feels like. You're alone in this on this path. And these verses are designed to teach us that our problems, while they may appear to be insurmountable, in our eyes are really just God's opportunities in disguise. Therefore, no matter what you are called on to face in this life, learn to trust in the Lord and turn to Him first for your help. And He's going to arrive for the help. And now, we spoiled it earlier, but He does so by releasing our potential. Verse 2 says, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you do have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." It would have been easy for Elijah to say, "Okay, sister, you've been through enough. We'll take care of you. I got you. The church has some funds set aside. We got you. What you need, we'll take care of these debts. We'll go talk to them. We'll settle out of court, and you'll be good. You'll be able to keep your sons." That could have been the easiest thing Elijah could have done. And we know some of the miracles he has done himself. But instead, he chose this mother to be part of the solution for her problems. How does he do this? He does this by erasing faith and self. Isaac talked about every song started with "I" this morning. I. Well, each one of those songs was saying, "I need you, Lord. I need help. I can come to you in prayer." That is taking yourself and putting yourself down. That is erasing your faith in yourself. And it's easy to have faith in ourselves if you think you've done it yourself. You know, I graduated school, got a decent job, got a good enough salary to support my wife and newborn. I think I'm doing okay. But it'll be foolish for me to think I did this all myself. It'll be foolish. And it's so weird how when things are going good, how less reliant we are on God. Prayers become a little shorter. You may not be checking in as much. You kind of go onto autopilot. Things are going pretty well. But by Elijah saying, "What do you need?" she was made to recognize the size of her need and the smallness of her own resources. God will use the trials, heartaches, and burdens of life to bring us to a place where we can honestly see our needs and our own inability to meet them. As long as we think we can handle things, why should we look to the Lord? That's the easiest temptation. Things are going good. Why should I look to Him? Right? Devil loves that. I'll leave you alone. Things are going good. You'll start losing faith in me, in Him. And makes it easier to fall into all the temptations I saw in Las Vegas. He isn't trying to erase our faith in Him. He is trying to erase our faith in ourselves. He asked her, "What do you need help with, and what do you have?" And after he exposes that to her, he expands her faith. He erased her faith in herself and her own abilities and began the process of expanding her faith in multiple ways. The first is he expanded her faith personally. See, Elijah's second question, "What do you have?" was designed to teach this widow that may have not looked like she had much, but in reality, she already had everything she needed to obtain what she wanted. All she had was this. It likely was anointing oil her husband left behind as he was studying. It's all she had. "I don't have anything left. I sold everything on Facebook Marketplace that I have. The furniture is gone. The cupboards are bare. You know, the IKEA furniture is all torn apart. We had the garage sales. It bought me a month or two. But everything's gone. All I have is this left." But yet, it was all she needed. Just as the songs we sung this morning, it says, he will answer your prayers. He will keep his promises. As long as you stay faithful, he will deliver everything he says. And many of you, because you're celebrating Mother's Day, it's because you know how many prayers are answered to you individually to be able to be a mother. That's an incredible thing. As a guy, I don't have to go through first trimester issues, right? I feel completely powerless. I'm amazed at the miracle of childbirth. Now, I know some of you have to talk to Eve about her problems and the issues she caused you guys, but it is an incredible ability you guys have. And we're so thankful that you guys have the jar to be filled, to raise a child within you and to birth them. He has promised to answer your prayers. He did it previously. Why wouldn't he do it today? He will be faithful. But then he also, he expands their faith personally. What do you have? And then he tells her to go and ask your neighbors. He expanded her faith publicly. What a strange command to say, hey, go to your neighbors and ask for empty jars, empty vessels. How do you suppose she explained this to her neighbors? You know how hard it is for me and how nervous I get to go to my neighbor to ask for something? Right? You're like, it's hard to get some sugar from my neighbor. And then I come, I have to go and ask my neighbor for some empty jars. Hey, Mr. So-and-so, I know this sounds weird. Do you have any empty jars I can have? Why do you need them? What had happened was I have nothing. I'm about to foreclose on my house. My son's about to be taken away. And I go to this man of God, and he tells me to go to you guys and ask for empty jars. Sure. Let me go see my cupboard of what I can spare you. And she has to do that conversation and dance multiple times. Because the prophet said, get as many as you can, right? So I imagine she got everything she could. She asked everybody in the cul-de-sac, in the neighborhood. She went to the neighborhood group, you know, and just like, hey, anybody got any extra jars? I'll take them. I am flat broke, and I need your help. I don't know how God's going to meet my need, but I'm just going to live out this my faith in him publicly. Right. See, even in your darkest moment, you don't know how he's using you to tell your story and prophesize for others. We don't know what her neighbors believed in, but they're about to see what he's going to do through her. No matter your situation, what you're going through right now, God could be using you to help someone else. He used her to speak to her neighbors. She might have thought she lost her mind as she came to the door. I had the little video camera right on my door, and if someone I don't recognize is on there and they hit the button, I'm not answering that. I am not answering. I am a millennial. I'm ducking. I am not answering that. I may talk to them. Hey, you can leave that package at the door. Thank you. I don't know you like that. Why are they at my doorstep in the first place? Have you lost your mind? But he uses her to humble herself, to go to her neighbors, to share her story and testimony, ask for help. And when we see the miracle happen, I guarantee you, all those neighbors, when she's carrying out their jars full of oil, they're like, what in the world's going on in there? I don't know. But she said her man, God's going to come through. That God's going to come through.
Yes.
And he did.
Yes.
So even if you're in the lowest valleys of your life, just recognize that you're a public billboard for what God can do in your life. You're advertising the grace, blessing, and power of God to a lost world. And then he also expands her faith privately. See, faith moved in that mother's heart. She obeyed the Lord. She borrowed the vessels. And she and her sons are shut themselves up in the house, trusting God to do what he had promised to do. Can you imagine that scene in that home, that little home that day? You got jars everywhere. You just got empty jars everywhere. And your sons are like, Mom, you okay? Have you lost your mind? What is going on here? Oh, no, just bring out more jars in from the car. Okay, but what are we doing? We ran out of room to place these jars. Well, go grab that oil. Okay, this little jar of oil. Sure, Mom, here you go. She gets to tell her sons, hey, sons, we're in a bad spot. Now, her sons probably know because the covers are bare, right? I imagine in my mind they're teenagers, right? And so you know the appetite of teenagers. They eat everything in the house. So the covers are bare. Her kids probably know they're in a bad spot. Mom, what are you doing with that oil? I'm going to pour. God told me to pour until I can't pour anymore. And so as the empty jar comes in, son, I need you to come back and bring another empty one. All right, Mom, this sounds crazy, but we'll do this. And one by one, jar gets filled, jar gets filled, jar gets filled, to the point where there are none left. Could you imagine such a miracle done privately? Those quiet moments where you're on your knees, feeling like you have nothing left, and it's just you and him intimately in that room, pouring into you, letting you know that this little jar is all you need to get through what you're going through. Whatever you have is all you need. That degree you have is all you need. That life experiences that you have is all that you need. That job title, that title of, as a mom and a father, that's all you need. I've given you everything you needed to get through this. And that small reminder that he can do into us privately is a miracle that will pay itself over and over and over again to the point where your jars will be full. See, God gave her a provision. He gives us our provisions. Verse 5 says, she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. Elisha promised that the Lord would do it, and he did it over abundantly. Not a single word and a single promise will fall to the ground unfulfilled. God will do everything he promised to do in your lives. That is a fact that you can take to the bank. Verse 6 says, when all the jars were full, she said to her sons, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. There is a limit of God's provision. And the limit is nothing but our faith. She just ran out of jars. She found more jars, the oil would have kept flowing. She just ran out of jars, right? God stands ready to give you all to make room in your life. If you come with some empty vessels, he's going to fulfill them. Verse 7 says, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. When the day was done, there was enough oil in those borrowed vessels to settle her debts, meet her desires, and supply her children. Elijah could have easily wiped away the debt. I know some of you pray for them student loans to be wiped away. Like, right, just go ahead and wipe that away. Come on, some of you vote hoping that happens. Man, if I can get that mortgage rate any lower, that would be great. So you just hoping and praying that that would actually, and he could have done it. Elijah could have easily taken that away. Wipe of a hand. Yeah, you're good. I got you. But instead of doing it, he helped her recognize what she has. Even though it seemed like a little, she had everything she needed. And with that, God didn't help her just get rid of her debt. He gave her a business to now she can live on forever. That's what God's willing to do for you. I don't know what point you're life in, but if you're at that lowest valley point, you have what you need. Come to him in faith. He will use what you have, and he'll provision you for the future, knowing that you're a walking billboard for his testimony. Thank you. Mothers, we love you. We can't thank you enough for all the things that you've done for us, that you've done for me personally. And with that, to bless you guys, I bring up Brother Isaac as we close this out and celebrate our mothers today.